Hello, and thank you for joining us for America Trends on the U2 America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. I'm Amy Fuller. So pleased to have you along. Hey, you guys have the new Rambo movie trending. It is Rambo Last Blood, and it will be hitting theaters soon. We are going to take a look, have a first little look at that for you coming up in just a while. Also, we're going to talk to Dr. Frieda, who's been here again and again, TV's favorite psychologist, about the perils of having a horrible boss. But listen to this. Having a bad boss may actually mold you into a great one. One study finds. And another reminder that comparing yourself to the Joneses next door is just not so good for our mental health. So we will talk to Dr. Frieda in a few moments. Also coming up, San Francisco. Have you heard about this? It's trying to get away from scary words like felons. They are trying to replace, you know, this politically correct thing. They're trying to take out the word felons and refer to it as something like justice involved persons. You believe this? We'll chat about it with Senator Ted Harvey coming up. So felons is apparently, you know, hurts their feelings a little too much. And it's just the next strange thing in the lexicon. Also trending in the news, the Trump administration is announcing that it wants to move to scrap the so-called Flores Agreement. This is in order to allow migrant families to be detained longer as their cases are being considered, instead of having them released in just 20 days' time, which apparently is not enough time to process them. More than 432,000 members of family units have been taken into custody from October to July. That is a 456% increase, and most are being released into the U.S. Trump backers say it's all to protect the children from human trafficking, not to mention the populace. The vice president of the National Border Patrol Council spoke to Fox News about this.
Well, this is what it comes down to. When we're seeing these groups that are coming across with minors, and a lot of these minors are, you know, within the ages of 14, 15 years old. And we ask them who are their parents, and they're obviously going to say the individual that they're with are their parents, but we don't know that. We don't know that for sure. There's also individuals that are, you know, smaller that and younger that are being brought in by these individuals, and they're being used by the criminal element to further break the law and you know, find these loopholes in our immigration system. The bottom line is this: something like this helps us so we can better determine if these individuals are actually a guardian or a parent to these kids. I mean, it's just the amount of people that are being released with having children is without really knowing for sure if they're real guardians. It's been large. I've give you even stories. We've had individuals that have called to the stations asking, hey, where's my child? He hasn't been released. And you know, we've gone into it and said, well, where is your child? Who did you hand your child off to? And they've said, I handed it off to an organization because they said they would give me extra money to be able to come into the United States. So they rent their children.
And those are just some of the perils having to do with our southern border and the dangers involved there. Do you follow conservative comedian Terrence Williams? He is sounding off on the so-called boycott of Dancing with the Stars. Some libs are complaining because former White House press secretary Sean Spicer is one of the stars. Terrence says, we're boycotted out.
I can't keep up with all these boycotts. It's another boycott. Every time I get on Twitter, it's a new boycott. Ever since President Trump won, it's been about 50 boycotts a week. Can y'all not be dedicated to one boycott? Like, I am boycotted out. Like, oh my, you know, Martin Luther King, you know, He boycotted one thing for like 5 years, like 10 years. Oh my goodness. Like, I just can't do it. Now they boycotting Dancing with the Stars, knowing they don't even watch the show. Y'all done went from boycotting Dancing with the Stars. Last week, y'all were boycotting toothpaste and mouthwash, walking around with funky breath. Now you got cavities because some toothpaste company support President Trump.
The fake news, of which many of you are members, is trying to convince the public to have a recession. Let's have a recession. The United States is doing phenomenally well. But one thing I have to do is economically take on China, because China has been ripping us off for many years. President Clinton, President Bush, and President Obama and others should have done this long before me. My life would be much easier, although I enjoy doing it, but my life would be much easier if I just said, let China continue to rip off the United States, all right? It'd be much easier, but I can't do that. We are winning against China. They've lost 2.5 million jobs in a very short period of time. They want to make a deal. It's got to be a deal that's good for the United States. When they want to make a deal, probably we will make a deal. But if I didn't do that, and I'm not doing this, somebody said it's Trump's trade war. This isn't my trade war. This is a trade war that should have taken place a long time ago by a lot of other presidents. Over the last 5 or 6 years, China's made $500 billion. $500 billion. Ripped it out of the United States. And not only that, if you take a look, intellectual property theft. Add that to it. And add a lot of other things to it. So somebody, excuse me, somebody had to do it. I am the chosen one.
Again, the quote that launched 1,000 tweets this week, President Trump speaking before heading to an AMVETS convention, their 75th anniversary in Louisville. We are with Senator Ted Harvey of the Committee to Defend the President, and they are doing a few things. For one thing, they are defending the president, started out as an anti-Hillary PAC, and now they are trying to sign about 1 million new voters in the swing states before the 2020 election. Welcome back, Senator Ted.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's so funny to see him trolling the press. And he just had 35 good minutes of talking about what he wanted to talk about and saying, by the way, you MSNBC, you're worse than CNN, and they're not so good anyway. So it's not. And it went on and on. It really is entertaining. And the chopper's there in the background swirling around. And you just have to love his propensity for good theater.
He is the greatest troll ever. I don't care whether they're in the media or whether they're on Wall Street. The president of the United States is the greatest troll ever. And he's got the media running in circles trying to go after every story that he puts up there. They're like cats chasing after a laser beam. And it's so funny to watch how he works.
That's so true.
And what he was just talking about, the video that you just showed, is truly what is this presidency is all about. I believe he will be judged in history by the way he handles China moving forward. For the last 30 years, presidents of both parties, Republicans and Democrats alike, have been kowtowing to a communist dictatorial regime in China and allowing them to play, you know, dictate the rules of how we are going to have trade with them. And they've been stealing intellectual property. Like the president said, the trade imbalance is $500 billion over the last 5 years. And nobody is doing anything about it. Finally, Trump gets elected, and he's not starting a trade war. He's joining the trade war that has been going against us for decades. And he's the only one that's been willing to step up. And you look at what's happening in Hong Kong right now, where you have 2 million people fighting for their lives on the streets of Hong Kong. I think every media outlet in the world should be focusing on this issue on the first report of every one of the reports going forward, of 2 million people out on the streets. That's 30% of the population of Hong Kong fighting for their lives. If that were to happen in the United States, that would be 100,000 people out on the streets, 100 million people out on the streets here in the United States. The communist dictatorial regime in China is bringing in the military into Hong Kong and killing people, torturing people, and the people of Hong Kong are standing up to that. And look at that. I mean, it's unbelievable. And then they are holding the American flags, saying we want democracy, we want the Bill of Rights, which gives them the right to self-defense, I might add. And they're also singing Christian songs in the face of brutality. I think everybody should be watching this very closely and doing everything we can to give them support and support the president, because he's the first one taking on this communist regime.
Again, for months now, but it's really just gained traction in the American media, maybe the past week and a half, 2 weeks. 2 million in Hong Kong, as you point out, 30% of their population in the streets protesting their way of government. And what a counterpoint to with them singing the national anthem, Christian songs, and flying an American flag. It's such a counterpoint to other countries who try to come here, invade because they're sneaking in and not going about it through due process, and flying their flags from their home countries and demanding we let them do whatever they want and give them free stuff. You know, it has to just grab your heart when you look at people in Hong Kong and say, you want to say, these are the people who you want as refugees, who will come and be contributing members of society and who believe in democracy. But the neat thing, Ted, is that they are trying to make their own homeland better.
Well, what's scary is that's the second largest economy in the world. And we are about to lose that economy to the Chinese government, who are going to they're going to take out all of the free market principles that have been in place since Hong Kong was run by the British for 100 years. Now the Chinese government is putting their thumb down on there, and that's why you see these protests, because the communist government is trying to take it over. Every government across the country needs to come to their aid. This is going to be another Tiananmen Square times 1,000 when the tanks start rolling in the streets of Hong Kong, and we need to be involved in this. The American people need to be involved in this and know how serious this issue is.
A great clarification. About a minute till break, we're going to hold you over and talk more about the political news of the day. But just going back to this trade war with China that everyone thinks, oh, this is Trump's thing. It's something that's been kicked. The can has been kicked down the road for generations. And as Trump pointed out, it should have happened long ago. And he's the one that takes up the mantle and will, as he says, the chosen one. And, you know, the press jumped in and said, do you think you're the second coming of Christ? What? They're not getting it, Senator Ted.
They are not. The media is going to nitpick everything he says, and he knows it, and they're going to run with it and try to make a mountain out of a molehill. And so he's just giving them the fodder to be able to do that. And that's, you know, they're not covering China. They're not covering what's going on there. They're not covering the border. They're covering the fact that the president throws off an offline about him being the chosen one. It's hilarious.
We'll chat more about that and, you know, these threats of a recession and people calling out saying, oh, it'll be good because it'll be anti-Trump. Back with Ted after this. Welcome back to America Trends. We are joined by the great Senator Ted Harvey of Colorado, who is now the head of the pro-Trump PAC, the Committee to Defend the President, one of the, if not the biggest, pro-Trump PAC in America. And if you want to go to his website and check it out, you can find some of the edifying post and updates they're doing, but also you can contribute. They're doing the heavy lifting and the footwork to try to enlist a million new voters for 2020 in the swing states that count oh so much. And you can go click one of these buttons and contribute money. Senator Ted, welcome back. How is your campaign going?
Well, it is going great. Thank you for your support there. I appreciate it. We are doing some amazing things. I don't know if you saw recently, but Colonel Alan West, former congressman, has come on board to help us with our efforts. He is one of my heroes. When he was in Congress, he was one of the most outspoken, articulate conservatives that served over the last 10 years. And now he's with us, the Committee to Defend the President. And he is working also to run to be the chairman of the GOP in Texas, and we want to help him in any way we can there. But he is helping us raise money. He's doing radio and TV across the country as well, and he's been great in helping us there. But we are spending a lot of money in special elections in North Carolina, where we have an important Republican election down there. We have to win for the Republicans. We're spending about $200,000 in that race that's going on right now, a special election. And we're also working hard and just committed to spending $250,000 up in New Hampshire to remind the voters of New Hampshire about just how radically left the Democrat candidates are that are going to be coming through New Hampshire over the next month or so as they are planning out their primary for president of the United States. And we are going to do a major effort up there to just show the New Hampshire voters who the Democrats are and remind them about President Trump and how close it was. He lost New Hampshire by about 4,000 votes. And we're going to do everything we can to make sure he wins that state moving forward in 2020.
Sure. And the vexing part of for people who do support President Trump and having another 4 years is that you see other people who support them saying he's going to win by a landslide. But the last thing we need to do is to be complacent. And that's why you are taking it so seriously. What do you need people besides just clicking in and maybe donating some money for these campaigns? What other things can they do? Can they take it and you know, sort of go door to door, try to, you know, establish a social media presence among their followers to get the word out? What is it, Senator?
Well, obviously in these five states that are such important swing states, Michigan, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Florida, we've got to have a grassroots army out there that's going to be working every single day to get our voters out to vote, the Trump supporters out to vote. And we are spending $1 million to get, you know, people registered in every one of these states that are Trump supporters, that have been disenfranchised, that have felt that the both parties have not supported them over the past decades. But now that they see that Trump is working hard to bring back their jobs and to fight the borders and to fight these trade wars, they're now wanting to become activated and support the president. We're identifying those people, and we're trying to get them registered to vote and get out to vote in 2020. Anybody in those states that want to help us in that effort, we need their help. We need their money, but we also need their help on the ground getting that accomplished.
And you mentioned we are really, I mean, more than ever, we are at a crux. We are at a crossroads where it's more important than ever for you to get your vote out for whatever way you want to go, because it really will establish, you know, what the next trend in our government is, the Supreme Court, and just the culture, the way we are going. And one specific instance that came down today, and Senator Ted, you can't even believe this is true. The city of San Francisco will no longer use the word, you know, the word, the war on Christmas. You can't use Christmas. You have to use holidays because it hurts people's feelings. San Francisco, they do not want to use the word felon or felons anymore. What they have done, Senator Ted, the Board of Supervisors in San Francisco just adopted a resolution. This is not fake news. Recommending that felons not be called such, but rather formerly incarcerated person or formerly justice-involved person.
There's a third one. I don't know how you live in California.
There's another one. Returning resident is another moniker that they think would be helpful. Another soft and fuzzy
resident.
Name that won't hurt the feelings of felons and will help them, you know, leave behind their label and be contributing members of society. What?
Returning criminal resident. I don't know how you do this. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. This is like from some dystopian novel, that cheap dystopian novel. And this is where the Democrat Party is. This is Kamala Harris. I mean, on steroids here. This is the Democrat Party. These are all the candidates that are running. When you look at these folks that are running and the policies that the Democrat Party is pushing across the country, I don't see how Trump can't win in a landslide, won't win in a landslide. But I'm not taking anything for granted, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure that he wins every vote that he possibly can. But you look at these whack jobs out there, and this is our country's going down a road that I don't want to go.
I mean, There are so many other things that, I mean, it's just like, what a shoplifter is going to be called next. Enticed consumers. You can't make this stuff up. It feels like it is from The Onion or the Babylon Bee.
It is. And you live there.
Well, it's upstate. You know, we try to do what we can to release ourselves. You know, maybe it'll end up in three different states eventually. They're trying to divide it up, Senator Ted. I know. And you, that's another thing among Californians, not to get off on another tangent, but the whole thing is people are leaving and divesting themselves of the state because they just feel it's too far gone. But that, you know, of course, that leaves behind people who don't have the values of the Conservative Party. Orange County has just changed over from being primarily conservative to liberal. And, you know, we've got to take the Golden State back if we possibly can. But yeah, this that headline is just one that is just too delicious to let go. Senator Ted, this talk of a recession, people are saying that it'll be good to be to have this recession because it'll show that Trump isn't doing everything he can. But we've had so many great things. Blue-collar workers, 85% say that they are going in the right direction. There are there's a lot of great economic news, and people are rooting against the country just so they can be against Trump.
Well, the Democrats ran on that there was a conspiracy with the Russian government during the campaign of 2016, and that ran its course for 3.5 years, and the Democrats ran on that. Then you had the Mueller report come out, and that whole narrative went by the wayside because it was complete fabrication, and it was, in my opinion, the greatest American scandal in American history, and people need to be going to jail for it. So that ran its course. Then you had Trump as a racist, and you see all of the incredible successes that this administration has had in helping people of color to rise up in our economy. So now that has fallen flat. So next thing they have is we're going into a recession. But we're not anywhere close to recession. A recession is when you have two negative quarters in a row. We've not had one negative quarter in Trump's entire time in office. So there, you know, we're not even halfway to being in a recession by the definition of what a recession is. So the Democrats are doing everything they can to set up a narrative to make people fearful about what's happening with our economy. But our economy is booming, and all of the voters out there understand that the economy is booming, and they're giving credit to the President of the United States because of the efforts that he's been doing for the last 2.5 years.
Follow Senator Ted at the Committee to the Friend, thepresident.com. Senator Ted, thank you oh so much. See you next time. Our YouTube America TV audience seeing some of the best cat videos so far of 2019 as compiled by a group called Just Smile. So fun. That's why God invented the internet, right? Cat videos. Hey, did you know that having a horrible boss may actually mold you into a great one? So, this is from a new study, and we are also covering with Dr. Frieda another a study that says comparing your home to the neighbors is never a good idea. Another reminder not to compare yourself to others. Dr. Frieda Birnbaum can be found here at her website. And she's a research psychologist, psychoanalyst, and author of a great book, What Price Power? An In-Depth Study of the Professional Woman in a Relationship. She is an expert on depression, women's issues, and attaining happiness. And she's been featured on Oprah 2020 and as the oldest mom in the USA to have twins. So cool. And last but not least, here on America Trends, and we're so glad to have her. Welcome back, Dr. Frieda.
Thank you so much. A pleasure to be here, as always. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. So bad bosses, we've probably had at least one in our lifetimes. Tell us about that and what this new study shows.
Well, you know, when you see something that makes you feel uncomfortable, there's usually a reason why you want to change it. You have empathy for other people. You know what it feels like, what you've gone through. So most of the time, you do learn what not to do by your boss who is doing all the wrong things.
So what kind of things really stick out? Like, can you talk about a little what makes a bad boss and how do we learn to sort of just stay away from those sort of tendencies? That looks like a bad one right there.
Well, times have changed. The millennials are looking at their bosses in a way that it's important for them to have a relationship with them. They care less about the money. Their lifestyle is their asset. And so they will go from job to job till they find the right coworkers, the right kind of relationships, the right kind of environment. So they've really changed the new trends from what the baby boomers have been doing, which is, you know, make the money, get the big house, get the big cars, and be materialistic. So today it's more about having a comfortable place to go to, having people around you that you can have a relationship with, and having time to really develop with your family, with your friends, and a lot of free time. That's most important. So when they see a boss who's inappropriate, they leave, and they definitely don't change the way that they would behave according to what the boss is telling them to do.
Dr. Frieda, it is interesting and edifying to know that people really are, instead of just wanting to make a living, they are wanting to make a life. And not depending just on work to be their life, but to actually, you know, do some good, give some good back. And so this study by researchers at University of Central Florida found that the abuse and bad behavior isn't always the takeaway if a person does go on to be a boss. And that's so important in any realm of life and with any people around us. Take the bad things, learn not to go there, and take the good things that we see that we think would be, you know, a good thing to carry on in life and to pass on to others, and grab onto those.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're learning that in politics as well. Just to go a step further than that, what is happening in our country with being appropriate, being nice, being likable, we're not getting that as much as we used to. And politics is working against us. And I just wanted to, Amy, talk about that as well, about what's going on in politics and how we are defining the support system and having a feeling of comfort and liberty and freedom. So it's not just our bosses, it's our president. How does he make us feel? What are the words that he is using? What is going on with these congresswomen? What are the words that they're using? So it's all about freedom of speech at work, at home, in politics, because that can become very dangerous if you do use the wrong words.
It is nice that the study showed that those who relied on their integrity and morals to fight their manager's abusive approach did feel encouraged to prevent it from carrying beyond, you know, what they lost. And it's nice to see people strong enough to try to go on to the next level and help other people out rather than, you know, I don't know. I mean, I haven't had a bad boss in a long time. So, Dr. Frieda, anything more on that topic before we move on to trying not to keep up with the Joneses?
Well, it's a very important topic that you just expressed. And, you know, if you're a nice person, you usually also have people around you who are supportive and who are good to you. So you have to really question what is going on with these people. If you're being positive and they're being negative, it has nothing to do with you. It's their own styles, their own issues, and absolutely do not personalize it. And that's about the end of that. Of that topic, but it's important not to personalize it. Absolutely.
DrFrieda.com is the website. And Doctor, that is so important too, because if we don't take it personally, it really can build character. And if we can look at whether it's a boss, a supervisor, someone under us, to not take it personally and to like think, why are they doing this? Why are they saying this? And realize it has more to do with them than us, can be such an education and build that emotional intelligence. Yeah?
Absolutely. You know, when we carry someone else's stress, we're not helping anyone. We're just furthering it as well. So those people who are inappropriate need help, and you can help them by suggesting that they can have someone there for them. You can have empathy for them. You can support them. Often, just because someone is your boss doesn't mean that they have to be the authority over you. Sometimes you have to be the authority over them.
And I suppose if it gets super toxic and super abusive in a way that you can't manage, you maybe move on?
Yes, absolutely. Then your health is in danger. Yeah. When it comes to that, there's no money that's worth it. You have to think about your good feelings, your longevity, coming home at the end of the day and having positive support system. If you're going to be yelling at your wife and screaming at your kids, well, that's not good. So it's not worth it. Absolutely not.
So good. And there's either an angry boss or an angry coworker for You to America TV viewers seeing on the screen right now. So, Dr. Frieda, thank you for giving us the latest on this study. And also a reminder, we're going to talk about thou shalt not covet. Comparing your home to the neighbor's is never a good idea, study finds. And your satisfaction with your home may have less to do with how you actually see your home, but rather how you compare it with your neighbors. So I have a heartbreak coming up. I want to talk about that. But before we go, can you remind us again of your website and your latest book?
I'm working on a book. It's called Words of Wisdom. It's not out yet. And my website is Dr. Frieda, D-O-C-T-O-R, Frieda, F-R-I-E-D-A. Well, actually, it's Dr. D-R dot F-R-I-E-D-A. Com. Thank you.
We'll find you online and we'll find you back here with us on America Trends after the break. Did you know your satisfaction with your home may have less to do with your actual home than with what your neighbor's house looks like or how it really is? The size of the home, your home in relation to others nearby, really plays a role in homeowner satisfaction, a new study shows. This is especially evident among smaller homes in a neighborhood. And this study comes out of the Iowa State University. The average size of a single-family home in the U.S. has steadily grown over the past 50 years, and researchers say their findings may provide a partial explanation as to why, because Americans are, in fact, trying to keep up with the Joneses. We are back with Dr. Frieda Birnbaum. Dr. Frieda, what did you think when you first heard about this study?
Oh, well, it's true. When we live in a house, especially, we see the people in front of us and the people on either side of us. And we are very aware of what they're doing, coming and going, because that's within our vision. Now, I'll share a quick story. During Halloween, when we moved here, I put out some Halloween things, some hay and some scarecrows and some pumpkins. My neighbor put out bigger pumpkins, a bigger scarecrow. So I kept going. I said, all right, this is not enough. Till he ended up putting out these carved out figures of his daughters and their names. And I knew that's when I needed to stop. So it's true, you know, you have to make a decision. Do you want to be the big fish in a small pond or the small fish in the big pond? And what is your comfort level? But we do have, research has shown that we do tend to want more when we see people around us more. And we are also more happy when we are the ones that have more. So it's about stuff, comparing ourselves materialistically, which of course, as we know, doesn't make your relationship any better, healthier, or happier. So we do compete, we do compare, and it's very unhealthy if you're going to be with people around you that have more than you, and that it's going to really make a difference to you in some way.
Pretty interesting when you look at the culture and mass media. You can think about, I don't know, the past 70 years when the phrase keeping up with the Joneses actually came about, and then the term consumerism. And we do, you know, overspend and credit becomes readily available. And we live way beyond our means in that effort to keep up with the Joneses. What can we learn from this, doctor?
You know, it's very sad. You know, when I took a trip to Europe and I came back and the stores and the department stores were open on Sunday, I said, give me a break. I mean, what is this really all about? Is that all we can do is buy stuff? What about staying home and reading, enjoying that nature, that walk, just being involved with day-to-day events and appreciating what we do have and stopping and looking at the moment and being in the now? We have difficulty with that. And when we're talking about consumerism, there's always new stuff out there. And the more you go, the more you will find. So it's time to have different priorities set for yourself and really what is going to make you more content and what's going to give you peace of mind is having a good relationship, is having wonderful experiences, to be involved physically with the community. That's really where happiness comes from. So let's stop doing all that shopping, consumerism, comparing ourselves with our neighbors. Who cares? You know, it's the big houses, but no one knows what's inside those houses, what's behind those doors, what they even look like. And you know, it's interesting because the neighbors don't care what's inside. They just care about the size. So, you know, let's talk about being superficial. It's a little bit over the top.
So looking about the comparisons here for our U2 America TV audience, comparing two homes side by side, comparing who can do the better Halloween spectrum. I do think that, you know, the 80s does have that stamp on it. Consumerism, living large, glitter, high shoulder pads, McMansions. I do think maybe as a society we're doing better, or at least we're trying to pretend we're not as consumer oriented. Do you think we're doing better, doctor? And what do you get from your one-on-one, the individual approach that you glean with the people you work with? Are we really letting go of less? Because there's just a study out that says that Americans do say they get more pleasure and fulfillment from travel and spending money there than having, you know, more stuff.
Absolutely. You know, studies have shown that $75,000 is what you really need to be as happy as possible financially. You don't really need more than that. So we're looking for something, and there's a void. And the more we look, the more we see that we're going in the wrong direction. Because stuff, as you said, doesn't give you anything. It just fills that void superficially, momentarily. Shopping, especially for women who are not looking to fill themselves up by having a purpose in their lives, by making some kind of difference, feel empty. We have to fill that emptiness up in other ways. We have to, as you said, when you go away on a vacation and you're spending time with people you care about and bonding, that can do more for you than fixing up the house, making the house bigger, buying more furniture, and just feeling that you're adding more physicality to your life rather than emotionally. And emotionally is what people need. We are made to be with each other. We are made to enjoy connecting, giving, thinking, sharing. Physiologically, your heart beats differently when you are actually giving better than when you are taking. So those are the life lessons that will really make that difference, sharing, enjoying with other people.
Doctor, thank you so much for this. It is such an enticing subject because we all deal with it day by day. What are we working for and why? And it's something to grapple with. So we appreciate your time as always. And it's drfrieda.com. Doctor, we'll see you next time. Thank you again so much.
Pleasure. Thank you so much, Amy. Bye-bye.
You as well. Going to head to a break, but first going to show you some of the latest. This is, you know, as I said, why God created the internet. Some of the best cat video compiled by Just Smile for the year to date. Take a look. some of the most compelling and important cat video from around the internet from 2019 so far for our YouTube America TV audience. Hey, we thank you for being with us, whether you're watching on YouTube America or listening on Biz Talk Radio, and we invite you to find us on our website, YouTubeAmerica.com. You can click on there, find about some of our other shows, and then click through to social media. Find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and then friend us, like us, all that good stuff. It's what social media is for, right? And so we'll see you all there. And we want to say thank you to our guest for this hour. We had Senator Ted Harvey of the Committee to Defend the President. That's the committeetodefendthepresident.com. They are trying to enlist 1 million new voters for 2020 in swing states. So you can go there and support him and learn more about what they are doing. Also, we had Dr. Frieda on talking about a few things. So thank you to drfrieda.com. Finally, the fifth installment of the First Blood franchise is due out this fall. You all have this trending. Everyone's into it. Sylvester Stallone is readying himself for revenge with knives, machine guns, and landmines. So the new trailer for Rambo Last Blood, the actor's first Rambo movie in, 11 years, is out. Most of the action takes place on Rambo's farm-like compound. We are going to give you a look as we head out and say thanks for being with us.
You're dealing with an expert with guns, with knives, with his bare hands. Rambo was the best.
I finally came home.
Uncle Dad!
To defend the only family I've ever known.
You must really want this girl.
All she's got is me. She's coming home.